Hey everyone, welcome to Connect the Dots. I'm Jeremiah Garcia, your host, from Guide Dogs of Hawaii. This is a safe space for blind and visually impaired individuals to come together, share experiences, and learn from each other. For the past few months, we have been redesigning our podcast and we appreciate your patience. In this year's series, we will be sharing conversations with BVI professionals and hope you will take away information that will help you in choosing your career, learning how some people overcome challenges, and hearing what having a career is like. This episode, we'll be interviewing a blind massage therapist, Art Cabanilla. The initial focus will be on his experience as a massage therapist, but he has experience in multiple avenues that we'll be going over, such as teaching people how to use access technology and being the president for the Hawaii Association for the Blind. He has quite a bit of experience in the workforce, so let's hear what he has to say. First and foremost, how are you informed about massage therapy being available for, you know, blind people as a career?
It was introduced by my DVR counselor at the time as a possible career choice. They were helping out in getting me started because that was the vocation that I was going to go into at the time. So they paid for schooling, they paid for books, they paid for all the required tools and equipment that one needs to be a therapist.
Okay. So why did you decide to start going into massage therapy?
It's because the fact that I wanted to help people was intriguing. The other fact was I was told by a family friend that my strongest strength was going to be my hands, so it just made sense to do massage therapy.
Okay, I see. So looking back, are you happy you chose to do massage therapy? Did you get everything you wanted out of it?
I think massage therapy is a good field. I think it was a good start. It certainly gave me the insight that I needed to start and run my own business, because I've always wanted to be self-employed. So yeah, I think that was a good starting point.
So I also studied for a while to get licensed in massage therapy. I'd say the hardest part for me out of all of it was the book studies. How would you go about learning the textbook portion of the training, even though you, you know, have vision loss?
So that was an interesting time, I should say, because of course the instructors there at the time, they were not familiar with working with a blind individual. So they too had to come up with a lot of creative ways to get the information across. So in terms of book studies, pictures that your fellow students were looking at in terms of skeletal, muscular, nervature, and all that kind of stuff, they would often use things like Play-Doh to simulate the shapes and directions that muscles were going, or what a bone would look like, and so forth. So in other words, everything was tactile. The other way that it was done was to just make cutouts, literally cut out the shape of a bone, or cut out the shape of the thickness of a muscle, and how that muscle laid on top of another muscle. And so on and so forth. So a lot of creativity was involved. But the biggest way that was most impact, I think, had the most impact was my opportunity to actually go and take a cadaver class. You know, you can't get any more real than that. You know, because you're looking inside of a, you know, human body, and you're seeing exactly how muscles and nerves and the skeletal system is laid out and so forth, even the up into the fibers and the skin tissue and so forth. So yeah, it's a lot more that you would get as a blind person when you actually, of course, hands-on, see? So yeah.
Yeah. So I know for every portion of the learning you had to do, there was, or at least for me, there was always a test to, you know, prove that you retained the information you learned. But I had to do a lot of my test with pencil and paper. How would you go about taking your test?
So a lot of my tests were hands-on tests. I had to perform what it was that the technique that was being taught. Or in the case of the book work that you're talking about, you know, again, it was just explained the, let's say, for example, the skeletal system, and they would be presenting the spine. And, you know, you would be asked the different parts of the spine and what these parts were, what the name of these parts were. So I would be, you know, be pointed out, or tactily, you know, you can touch like the vertebrae, the disc, and so forth. And then they would ask you what are these things are, what they're called, what's their names. And that's basically how the exams were done. It was very tactile.
Okay. That's actually a pretty cool way to do the test. So as far as technique training goes, a lot of the way that my instructor would go about teaching is he would have someone lay on a table and he would have everyone watch him do the technique and then have them do it and then correct them if they do anything wrong. So how would they go about teaching you, you know, very specific techniques where you got to put your hands somewhere very specific or do something with your fingers?
So most times I was the so-called guinea pig. So the teacher would demonstrate to the class how that technique should be done, which way the stroke should be going. Should it be going with the blood flow or against the blood flow? Should it be cross fiber or not? You know, that kind of thing. And then afterwards, I was then to have to do it on the professor or on another student, more likely. And then that's how I would be corrected if I was doing it wrong. Because now the professor or the teacher is watching me do the work on the student.
Okay, that's a pretty smart way to help you initially get the concept of it. When you got into massage therapy, was there any other blind massage therapist you knew about or that was like around to help?
There were a few other blind therapists that were already licensed and in the field, but none that was, I could say, were of any true help to me in terms of learning the technique, learning the skills. A lot of it came from my classmates, you know, helping me out, doing a lot of training with each other, you know, trading, I should say, massage trades. And yeah, that's pretty much how it was done.
Okay. So after you did all the hours required for, you know, the schooling, the technique training, you go into an apprentice phase, right?
Correct.
So how did it feel, you know, getting out of that schooling phase into the apprentice phase and, you know, giving massages when it's just you and the client?
I think like anybody else, blind or not, you know, that first few clients that you work on, you know, it's going to always be that uncertainty of, am I doing this correct? Does the client appreciate the work being done? You know, will I get, will this person come back and request for me again or not? You know, all of these kind of questions come to, I think, to anybody. But otherwise, it was normal.
Okay. Do you think you, you know, struggled with anything in particular?
I don't think it was anything in particular that was difficult, or I would call it a struggle. I think it's just, a lot of it is, like anything else in life. You find a way to get over whatever is the challenge, and you get past it.
Yeah, of course. So, with massage therapy, it's a very, you know, physical thing. You got to use your body the entire time that you're giving the massage. Is it physically challenging to give massages so often?
It is. It gets tiring. It takes a lot out of you physically. And that's one of the reasons I did get out of the field eventually, because it was becoming too physically taxing on me.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, that's good to know. So after you get all these hours in, you know, you meet all the requirements that the state held, you have to take this final exam, and you have to score a certain number of answers right on this test in order to get licensed. How did you study for that again?
So a lot of my fellow student friends, we did a lot of group studies, and so that's how I got through that last phase and got myself ready to take the exam. If you can work with your fellow students, you know, and do group study work, you know, because all of you are studying for the same exam, so you have to learn the same material, the same information. So yeah, that's the best way to do it, I think.
Do you feel like the exam was more difficult than it needed to be, or was it easy after you took it? How did you feel?
Yeah, it was no different from any other exam that you take. Some of it was multiple choice. Some of it was fill in the blank. So it's nothing that much, no different really.
Okay. Once you were ready to leave that place that you started at, what kind of options were available to you?
I think the options really were to work for some chiropractor doing massage therapy there, or going into outcall massage, which really meant that you need to be mobile and be able to, you know, take your table and equipment with you from place to place. And at that time, it was mostly hotels. So you're working on a lot of tourists that are traveling. And then the final third option was to, you know, work with somebody who's already has an established massage center. And then I guess the fourth, I should say, was to go independent and do your own.
Okay. So out of all the options you had, what seemed like the best option for you?
I think going independent was the best option, because I didn't have to travel. I didn't have to lug my table and all my gear with me from place to place.
So what kind of pay could you expect on your own, like in your own business, compared to like if you were with a chiropractor or working for like a hotel or like a cruise ship or something?
I think today you can probably charge something like I would say anywhere between 55 and 75, depending on, again, your location, how well of a massage therapist you are, and your availability.
How long did it take for you to have consistent customers and like a reliable income?
I think it took at least a good, from start to where we had a client, a true client base, weekly client base. It took about 4, maybe 5 years.
Wow. Okay. That was actually a little longer than I thought it would be. So when a client comes in, how long do they usually stay consistent? Is it something like they come in every few months, or do they come in for like a few sessions and then that's it? You don't see them anymore?
It was sort of both, but mostly it was they would come consistently. So, you know, you would see them at least once, either once a week or once every 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Okay. I know you worked for someone else for a little bit when you first started, so I was kind of curious about how that worked out. I know there's an initial charge for the massage that the customers pay, but usually they take a portion of that pay for like the business itself. So what kind of portions were you offered in terms of the pay? Was it like 50-50, 60-40?
Yeah, if memory serves, it was close to 50-50 or a little more.
Okay. Another thing I was curious about as far as pay is concerned is if you could get paid from insurance to do massage.
Yes, you could. That's another avenue that one can go.
Oh, okay. How long did you do massage therapy again?
15-some-odd years.
Oh, okay. So, shifting over a little bit to the accessibility training, did anyone in particular get you interested in that aspect?
No, not a particular person. Basically, it was through the massage, running my own business as a massage therapist, that I needed to learn how to use computers, because to run your own business, you have to be able to do your own soap notes for your clients. You have to be able to keep track of accounting records, also be able to do your own accounting at the, you know, either semi or annually. So these things all became necessary as a business person, to having to learn how to do all of this, you know, from a blind perspective, was necessary. But unfortunately, at the time, you know, there weren't any true, at least in my opinion, there weren't any true good trainers that could teach the access part.
So you started doing this because it was necessary for you and, you know, your career path. But how did you end up wanting to teach other people how to do it?
For the same, almost the same reasons I started out with massage, wanting to help others, wanting to see, you know, blind folks succeed, making sure that, you know, that we weren't left behind, seeing that the struggles that we have to go through, myself included, you know, through school, how difficult it was during those years without technology, and then being introduced to technology and seeing how that technology could actually impact someone's educational path and therefore possible career, I thought it was great. I thought it's that, you know, people need to have all this.
Yeah, of course. So, do you think long term that this was the best option for you?
I do. I do. Yep.
Nice. Okay. So, in I know you said there wasn't any true teachers to help you with the accessibility side. So, what kind of schooling or training did you end up going through in order to become proficient in all of this?
Taking online courses, getting certified in different areas of access technology is really how I did it. But mostly it was through just plain experience.
Oh, so you had to learn a lot by yourself.
Yeah, there's a lot that we had to learn. A lot along the way, which you then pocket, as experience, and then you lean on that experience for the next time.
Oh, okay. So at the time you're learning, there wasn't too much options. Are there any places you would recommend? I know you yourself, but are there more options now to learn access technology?
I think there is. Because I'm not the only one in, doing this anymore. There's a lot of blind folks who are doing exactly the same thing, offering access training to access technology. Some of them are doing it, face to face. Others are doing it, online type of training. So yeah, I think the industry has grown quite a bit.
Okay, so when you started learning all this access technology, what kind of resources and technology was available to learn to help you with your business?
The actual access, learning of the technology itself, a lot of it was books. Braille books, audio books, anything I could find on the internet that would speak to the using of a specific software or device, and learning that software or device inside and out. I think that's how most of us started out. Learning these things.
Okay. So when you were confident enough to teach others, I assume there wasn't like some kind of association or someone else that you could work under. Is this also another business that you started by yourself?
After, oh gosh, I don't even know how many years, but after a few years of working and learning these things and trying it out and offering my services here and there. Yeah, I did hook up with Island Skill Gathering and have been their blindness trainer for the last 20 some odd years now.
Wow, okay. So when you establish this workplace for yourself, I know that DVR helped you with promotion as far as massage therapy goes. Were they able to do the same thing as far as your training and access technology?
Yeah, to a degree. They helped to pay for some of the training that I took, some of the purchasing of books that I bought, and some of the equipment that I picked up, along the way.
Okay.
But after that, it pre became pretty much me that pays for this. Or my business, my company that pays for it.
So, when you were getting started in it, was it difficult to find clients who needed your assistance?
Yeah, if you're gonna do it on your own, it is very difficult to find clients because, as I think a lot of us are aware, it's kind of expensive to have someone sit with you and teach you what's necessary to learn, whereas it's easier if someplace like DVR is willing to pay for it so that you can apply that knowledge now to a vocational track.
Oh, okay. I see. How expensive is it usually for someone to get, like, you know, a lesson on something?
I think that varies from client to client. So it's hard. That's a hard answer to give. But, yeah, you know, you could be paying, what, $20 an hour up to $100 an hour. So, yeah. Very, very difficult.
Wow.
Hard to say.
Yeah, that varies quite a bit. So, with this, I know it took a while for you to get, you know, a consistent client base with massage therapy. Did it take just as long for access technology training, or?
I would say so. You know, it's all about marketing. It's all about establishing yourself, you know, in the community. But once that's done, you know, then you know, things start to kind of take control of itself.
Yeah, I get it. So I feel like a lot of this access technology training involves, like, heavily in customer service. So is customer service in this field of work difficult?
Yes, it is. Because, you know, as you probably are aware, you know, you're going to have clients that are going to call you who are frustrated or even angry because what they're trying to do is not working and they can't get it to work. And so that turns into frustration or even sometimes anger. So you need to be able to deal with that and not react to it. So,
do you feel like your lack of vision makes it any more difficult to help your clients, or is that not an issue?
No, I think that's a non-issue because it's, you know, you're just sharing the same technology that you already are using.
Yeah. Does your years of experience make dealing with these customers a lot easier, or are there still, like, complications that you run into?
I think over the years, as would any other profession, you start to develop a sense of how to do things and how to approach things. And you start to develop your own method to getting the job done. So, yeah, you know, in the beginning, you're going to always have that challenge. But once you become comfortable with it and, you know, you start to develop that method of your own, then I think it becomes a little easier.
Okay, that's good to know. So with your access training, can people come to you with, you know, just any kind of, you know, accessibility, you know, based technology or programs, or is there, you know, specialized things that you help people with?
Well, you know, big question. You can come to me and ask me for help with anything access technology wise, and I will let you know if that is something that I'm able to do or not. I don't claim myself to be the all tool for everything, but I will say that if you come to me for in an area that I am very comfortable with and have great depth of knowledge in, then yeah, you know, I can tell you almost certainly that I can help you and I can make it happen for you. So yeah, it's kind of a tricky question there, but yes, you know, you can come to me.
So, as far as things that you have, you know, a lot of experience with, is that mainly dealing with, you know, BVI related access technology, or have you ever like dabbled in, you know, or has anyone like come to you with, you know, I don't know if they're like deaf or something?
I've taught low vision products, software, Zoom Tech. I've also taught OCR products, how to use that. And I still, you know, occasionally will have a client who's not even blind and doesn't know how to do certain things with their computer. But I'm able to help them figure it out and get them going. So it's not always access technology related.
Okay, but you're still, you know, able to help people regardless of like whether it's specifically access technology.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, as much as I know, I will help. If I cannot, then I refer.
Okay, yeah, that's very fair. So you did massage therapy, you did access technology, but I'm also aware that you're the president for the Hawaii Association for the Blind, right?
That's correct.
So I'll be honest, I don't know a whole lot about the HAB or, you know, what being the president of it entails. Could you tell me a bit about HAB's vision statement and, you know, what those goals mean to you?
So basically, the Hawaii Association of Blind, its vision or its purpose is to help and support the blind community here in Hawaii. It started off 50-some-odd years ago. Warren Toyama was its president at the time. He and Philo Tu, along with a number of others, really had worked this organization so that it could be used to, again, support the blind. And at that time, one of the biggest things that they were doing was trying to regain the concession stand that was at the airport and bring that back into the blind vending program. So that took a lot of effort, took a lot of work on the organization's part, and they were successful at that. So that was one of their biggest achievements, I would say. And of course, it's continued support for other agencies like the library, Ho'opono, even the DOE system, the teachers. Because again, HAB believes in supporting the blind children as well, making sure that they have the tools or the equipment necessary so that they can compete competitively within, you know, their school years as well as, you know, afterwards.
Okay, so HAB reaches out to like a whole bunch of places, right? Just wherever they can help. So how did you end up becoming the president?
At the time, Philo Tu was the president and I was the first vice president. And unfortunately, he had passed away that year, 2015. And so by default, I became president and have been ever since.
Oh, you've been president for quite a while then.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So what kind of responsibilities does, you know, being the president have?
Oh, a whole lot.
Oh.
A whole lot more than I think most of us would even imagine. You know, when I first got into it all, you know, it seemed like, oh yeah, no problem, you know, president, yeah, we can do this. You know, it's probably like, you know, being the president of the book club in high school. But no, that's not it at all. There's a lot more to it. You know, there's people skills that you have to learn. There are organizational skills that you have to learn. And then, of course, there's understanding of the accounting side of it, because, you know, the organization does deal with money. And so needing to know where your money is going and or where your money is coming from, that's all important to know as the president, because you're responsible for all of it.
So before you became vice president and all that, or even president, what was your, you know, what inspired you to join HAB initially?
I think the fact that I saw in HAB their mission of wanting to help the children of Hawaii, the blind children of Hawaii. And, you know, not just helping, but making sure, again, that they got the kinds of training that they needed to be successful in school, or making sure that advocacy was done if it was needed to help the parents make sure that their children were getting the kind of training that, again, a blind child needs. Just being there, being that support system, I think was really what attracted me.
Before we start wrapping up here, I just wanted to ask you a couple interesting questions. First is, what do you think is the hardest part about having vision loss for you?
The hardest part about vision loss? I think the hardest part is having to constantly evolve one's self. And what I mean by that is we live in a sighted world. And as such, that world is always changing and evolving as well. So you take technology, for example, you know, before iPhones came out, the buzz, everybody's buzz was all about small phones, flip phones, brick phones, you know, candy bar phones, and all of these phones had all buttons, tactile buttons, and we were able to adapt by putting speech to these phones. When the iPhones came out, touch screens came out, again, having to evolve, having to keep up with the world around us, that's always going to be, I think, the biggest challenge, because the world is not going to stop. You know, we're going to have to maintain our position in that world. So, yeah, I would say that's probably the biggest challenge.
What's the most positive thing you would say about vision loss?
I think the most positive thing about vision loss is the ability to say to oneself, I can, or I will, or it's possible. I think if you have that kind of, it'll eventually you develop this attitude of it's possible. You know, most people, when they first lose their sight, you know, it's all about, what am I going to do next? I'm not going to be able to survive. I'm not going to be able to move on. But after a while, you do. And so I think that's the positive. The positive is that after a while, you do. You figure out that way, and you develop that attitude of, I can do. And that's going to be your saving grace.
I want to thank Art for giving his time to share his experience as a massage therapist, access technology trainer, and his active involvement in the blind community as president of Hawaii Association of the Blind.
Oh, thank you for having me over. It's been great talking with you.
In sharing his experience as a massage therapist, we can see that although there were many obstacles Art had to overcome to achieve his entrepreneurship, working with others and being creative has smoothened his path towards his goal. He has also shown that you can change your career along the way when you find something you feel you can continue his passion, which is to help others. So, it's not a surprise to see that his passion leads him to be an active leader in carrying out the mission of the Hawaii Association of the Blind, also known as HAB. We at GDH thank Art for being a role model for the blind and visually impaired, and for being selfless and sharing all that he has learned with others so that they may succeed as he has. Art has given us permission to offer his phone number and email address to you should you have any interest in HAB or access technology. You can reach him at 808-728-1554. That is 808-728-1554 or 6cents808@gmail.com. That is sixsense808@gmail.com. As we draw to a close with this episode, I want to thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoyed your visit and found useful information. We welcome your feedback at feedback@guidedogsofhawaii. It would be great if you would visit us on our social media platforms, such as Instagram and Facebook. You can find us by simply searching for Guide Dogs of Hawaii.